be to pass and send to the general register. Is that correct, Representative Nelson?
I believe that's what I'm just going to walk up and ask you what your intention was, if you were going to include it in yours or send it to the general register.
Was that?
No, it was whether you were going to conclude it as part of your omnibus bill or send it to the general register, but that's where it came.
I don't think there's, well, I think at this point we could send it to the general register, so.
Chairman, I can hardly hear you. Will you speak louder?
anyway, thank you for hearing the House File 152. And this bill was brought to me by a couple constituents. And where it kind of came from is with this changing of commissioners, they were afraid that this program was going to go away. After the 35W bridge came down, the Commissioner Sorrell created this position as a way for the department to better interact with citizens. And so they had a single source place that they could come when they had concerns with MnDOT taking land for road expansion and just a myriad of other issues that came up. And it was brought to me by a citizen. It was also brought to me by the suggestion by some of our staff that they use this position a lot when we have constituents call us. This is who they contact at the department to get their answers and to get issues resolved. And I don't know what you've got in your packet, but I've got a handout here that I gave at other committees that you talked about. It's off the website. Yep, it's off the website. That's MnDOT's description of what the department does with this. I also had it at the other committee. I handed out in law. There are other ombudsmen that are specified in law, so it's following after that. And this is not creating a new position. Currently, this position is in MnDOT, and the new commissioner has said that he sees value in it and intends on keeping it. But this is kind of we're looking in the future, out in the future. This position saves conflicts, helps resolve disputes. So I think it's a valuable position, and that's why I'm moving forward with the bill. Now, I've got three examples here that were brought to me of where this has helped out. The first one I have is in Representative Purcell's district up in Deer River. MnDOT did some work on an adjacent state highway to this person's property, and what it causes is water puddling right in front of her mailbox. So every day when she had to go out and get her mail, she had to walk through a puddle of water to get her mail. Now, that may seem insignificant to most people, but it could be irritating if every day you got to walk through a puddle of water just to get your mail. The ombudsman visited the site and worked with the U.S. Post Office to get her mailbox moved to the other side of the road, and it solved the problem, and the person was happy. And, you know, that's what we kind of want, is our citizens to be happy with the actions that we do as a state. Another one that happened down in, which is now Representative Savick's district, is an Albert Lee City Council meeting. There was kind of a dispute between a couple citizens, and one of the citizens pointed out that this business had a sign that was on MnDOT property and had been there for 40 years, but the sign being on MnDOT's property shouldn't have been there. Well, MnDOT came around and said, remove the sign immediately. Well, been there 40 years, what was the rush? The ombudsman moved, visited the site and worked with the business and came up with a respectful compromise, and the sign was removed and was allowed to stay there for another 6 months, and then the sign was removed. Probably the biggest one that came up, and this happened in Representative Bingham's district, but that's now Representative Schoen's area. But after an extensive road work on Highway 61 in the Southeast Metro area, a homeowner had major structural damage to their home, and that included some walls, interior walls moving or foundation moving. And the insurance company for the construction company was doing the work, said, well, it's not our responsibility. And this person contacted MnDOT. The ombudsman came out and they worked out and checked the damage, and they were caused by the road construction. And the person was awarded enough money to get their house fixed. Now, that's what this is about. It didn't involve a lawsuit. It didn't involve someone going to court. It fixed the problem and smoothed over the relations between MnDOT and our citizens. And I've got other examples that have been given to me. I don't have them with me here, but that this is what I'm trying to do with this, and I think that's why it's an important position that we maintain in MnDOT. And It does not require them to have an individual person just doing this, but keep the position there so that going forward we have this interaction to solve disputes within MnDOT. So with that, I'll take questions.
All right, we've got a few already. Representative Howe, followed by Representative Earhart and Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really think that it sounds like it's a good position. My concern is, aren't we taking control of the department away from the commissioner on how he sees fit to best address those issues? I mean, this might work right now, today, but why are we going to handcuff him in the future from maybe that ability to redesign, restructure, and actually place things out in the future?
Representative Nelson, Chair.
That has been a concern that's one of the concerns that MnDOT has had, but they currently are neutral on it. They're not opposing the bill. They understand, the new Commissioner Zelli has sees the value in it and he wants to keep the position there. And in other departments, the Department of Agriculture, we've specified they have ombudsman to deal with farmers and issues that they have. And so there's three other ones here that we have created by law that have the ombudsman's positions, and so that's what we're modeling this after. And there's somebody here from MnDOT if you need to ask questions from them.
Okay. Thank you. Follow up, Representative Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, if it's working, I just don't see why we make a change to something that works. Why don't we just leave it alone and let the commissioner do his work? He seems like they know what's going on, so I don't see why we make laws where we don't need to.
Okay, any response? Representative Earhart and then Representative Beard is on deck.
Mr. Chairman, it doesn't look like there's any cost to this. Why are we looking at this here?
Because if you look at the, thank you, Representative Earhart, if you look at page 2 of the fiscal note under assumptions, staff and expenses to continue this position are included in MnDOT's budget, a biennial budget, and so we were told by council that it should stop here.
I think the council's wrong, but anyway.
Mr. Chair, that's what I was originally told there was no cost, but then that was pointed out to us after it got sent to the floor. We were told that because it's continuing a position that there is a cost, and so we had to have, that's why it's here.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson, I'm sorry I haven't been able to come and chat with you privately about this bill, but, things have been flying around here like crazy lately, and with meetings every 15 minutes, it's been kind of hard to get away and talk about it. So we'll chat in public about this. Mr. Chairman and committee members, first of all, this position, I remember when it was created, and it is a good idea, and it has, by all accounts, been a success in the office. I share some of the concerns that have been expressed by the other representatives that we're reaching into MnDOT's management structure and codifying it in statute, which is a little heavy-handed. But my concern, it comes from my appreciation of the department and the way it's worked to this point, because it's been largely very non-political and reportable, I guess, only to the commissioner, as I understand, the way we put it together. My question, though, is one that I'm a little uncomfortable in asking, but it needs to be asked for political purposes. Are these unclassified, and will they become classified if this becomes law? In other words, will these people be forced to join the government union of one stripe or another?
Representative Nelson.
My understanding, they're not classified at current time. I'm looking over here at Mr. Peterson.
Yeah, perhaps, Mr. Chair, perhaps a MnDOT
and
legislative spokesman can...
Good morning, Mr. Peterson. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Scott Peterson from MnDOT. And Representative Beard, in answer to your question, the woman who runs the Ombudsman's office currently is a member of the manager's plan. So that's for employees who are unrepresented by collective bargaining organization. But the people that work for her are represented by me.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And I like that arrangement, frankly. Mr. Chairman, 2 years ago we had an unfortunate headbutting contest, and having been the chair of this committee, I was the recipient of direct political intervention by the AFSCME unit, which shut down the entire division I didn't think needed to be shut down, MnDOT and their construction projects. Having this person be an unclassified employee has great appeal to me for the good of the state and for the good of the contractors and the people working here. My fear is if this becomes a statutory, maybe this is to the author, will this then person then be required to join a political unit such as AFSCME or MAPE to continue their employment? You follow my question? And you can understand my concern then, mm-hmm. How this position could become a political weapon, and I'm concerned about that.
And Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, it's not my intention of that. And like I said, it's only the one position, which yes. is what the mm-hmm. is currently a non-classified position. It's a non-union position. And so I don't intend on this becoming a union position. And, mm-hmm. and the to the question earlier about managing the staff, mm-hmm. they're flexibility in there that they can have a person in that position. And right now they have three other people working in that department for her.
Yes.
So it's not a we're not mandating how he uses the position.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Well, thank you for letting me express on the record and to the public my concern about what we're doing here. It's one of those issues that if it passes, I don't think the wings are going to fall off. I don't see the need that it actually has to happen. But, Mr. Chair, having expressed my concerns, having a manager of the department who can be unclassified, yeah, it doesn't bother me in the least that the supporting staff is classified. That's their job, and they just do things to support the policy that the manager presents and sets forth. I'm good with that, but I just want to make sure that my concerns are on the record. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Representative Beard. We have Representative Dean, followed by Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson. My question might be simple. I'm not sure. But I see that this would be funded through the trunk highway funds, if I'm not mistaken. And is it currently funded through trunk highway funds?
Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Dean, yes, it is. MnDOT, their whole function is funded through the trunk highway funds. It's all part of their, it's all part of the MnDOT budget.
Representative Dean?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Then our last question that I have on the list is Vice Chair Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Nelson, thanks for bringing this forward. I didn't know that this wasn't already in state statute, and I think it's a good idea to institutionalize a very important position within MnDOT. I know MnDOT has a big mission and has lots of responsibilities, and they try to do their best in achieving those. And sometimes being an average citizen, it's hard to navigate that huge system and be able to have a balance in power. And I think that this position is very important for the public to have their voice heard, especially when things aren't able to get resolved. So I want to thank you for bringing this forward and institutionalizing this within our state.
Okay, any further discussion on House File 152? Okay, well, I'll renew my motion that House File 152 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails, and you are on your way to the General Register. Members, before we adjourn, we have one other item of business, which is to approve our minutes from yesterday. So those are in your packet. Representative Bernardi, have you had a chance to?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would like to move that we pass the minutes from February 27th.
Okay. The motion is on the table. All those supportive indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the motion prevails. And members, thank you very much for being on time and getting this bill out today. We will have our regularly scheduled meetings next week, and we'll be continue to hear bills similar to yesterday. Some will be bonding, some will be related to the Trunk Highway Fund, but they're about different projects that people have brought forward. And I'll just reiterate my request that during the month of March, we're going to just be hearing bills in this committee for the most part, and then right after our Easter Passover break, the first week of April, it's my intention that we're going to mark up the finance bill so we can send it along to Ways and Means by our deadline on April 19th. So, again, just a plea to get those bills jacketed and in, and your hearing requests over to Mr. Scheer. And with that, have a great weekend, and we are adjourned.